Nerdy Boys are back, coming to give it to you, playing the same game. You always refuse. Elk Grove Nerds always breaking through, like the Hulk smashing his way through the roof.
Abominate, abomination, running the entire nation's dollars are in circulation, blowing it on these vacations, buying, taking, causing pain. Bruce will tell you what I'm saying, he is red at always paying, that is called the Bruce Wayne.
Hello and welcome everybody to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts, I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies, pause this podcast, go watch them, and join us again for the fun. Along with that, explicit content warning, we'll probably be saying words like shit, fuck yourself, and fuck it right in the pussy. So if you don't like that kind of stuff, you can go fuck yourself, honestly.
Right. Yes. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome. Hope you guys had an excellent weekend.
Yes, I hope it was mint.
Hope it was a mint time, mate.
Yes, we are here again for
complete
our third podcast
bullsh.
Of the week. Yes. We did our Civil War podcast, and we did our Game of Thrones podcast, and now we're doing our regular podcast.
Yes, where, you know, we go over, you know, our weekly news and our weekly television shows as well.
Yeah. We had some story time in our Game of Thrones podcast.
And in our
Chivalry podcast.
The Chivalry boys.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we ran out of stories to kind of tell. I mean, there's only so much stuff that can happen in 1 week.
Yeah.
So, you know, unfortunately, this podcast doesn't get any story time, guys.
Oh, no.
You're just going to have to go listen to the other ones, and those could be found on podbean.com and iTunes.
But something we didn't mention when we were doing our Civil War podcast is we were drinking our our Baskin-Robbins stuff in honor of Ant-Man, you know, so we're doing that.
Yes, because Baskin-Robbins always knows.
Yeah, they always
find out. Like, yeah, is that the one?
They either know or they find out. Who knows? I only saw the movie in theaters and then I bought it and never watched it.
And never watched it again, but it's an excellent movie, though. We should watch it again.
We should.
Soon.
I have it around here somewhere, unless my mom stole it, because I know they were going to watch it.
Yeah,
so maybe they never gave it back.
We're waiting in anticipation for them to bring us back food.
Yeah, they're like gonna bring us I Heart Teriyaki. So
yeah, because it's Christian's mom's birthday and it's Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that may or may not be listening to our podcast.
Hi, mom.
Hello, mom.
All right, let's jump straight into this news, eh?
Yes.
Kevin Feige says that Marvel Studios is committing to a Black Widow solo film. Yeah?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Awesome. That's good news.
So, Civil War is her fifth appearance, you know? So, you know, that's a thing. And there's been a cry for her own solo film, and it's never been louder. Promises have been made over the years. But now, speaking with Deadline, Kevin Feige says the studio is committed to a solo film. He said, we've announced the next 9 movies, 10 counting Civil War, through the end of 2019. Where we go beyond that are our ongoing discussions that we'll focus on in the next few years because we have a lot to do before then. Of the characters that you've just mentioned, I would say certainly the one creatively and emotionally that we are most committing to doing is Black Widow. We think she's an amazing character. We think Scarlett Johansson's portrayal of her is amazing. She's a lead Avenger and has amazing stories in her own right to tell that we think would be fun to turn into a standalone franchise.
So, I mean, basically what he's saying is, you know, they understand that the demand is there.
Yes.
And it's something that they're going to take a look into.
Yes.
But at the moment, they have their hands full, guys. So give them some time.
Give them some time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then
they go on to talk about they only currently have one female-led feature on their schedule, which is Captain Marvel. And then Ant-Man and the Wasp, which has a female name in the headline. I don't know why all this is important.
That stuff isn't all that important. Yeah.
They're just kind of going into the female lead.
So it's like, I don't really understand people's outrage because, like, if you actually look at, like, the scope of, you know, Black Widow, like, how they've, like, portrayed her, it's like, she is, like, a dynamic character, but it took time to get there.
Yeah.
It's a character that needed a lot of structure and building towards. for people to even like draw interest into her, to want this whole film. Right. It's like the only people that were like super, super interested were like, yeah, the fucking 100% like, yeah, go female power type people, or the people that read her in the comics, you know, the right. people that endear her as their favorite comic book character.
Yeah, I mean, and if they did do one, would it be like in the future, or would it be a, her growing up as a spy, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I think it would have to be like her time in Russia as a spy and everything like that. Like, that's like where you get the most interesting Black Widow stories, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. They should definitely be doing more spy stories, because it's like, for me, it comes down to a point where if it's now, she's an Avenger, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just the other characters would probably just overshadow her in her own movie.
Well, yeah, if they're in there, you know. I think, like, people wanted, like, the Black Widow-Hawkeye team-up movie, but it's like, I'd rather see her before this all, you know, her double agent phase and her all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Growing up. And
yeah, there's a lot of interesting source material that they can definitely draw from, you know, before she became involved with S.H.I.E.L.D. and yeah. being an Avenger and all that good stuff. I mean, there's plenty of storylines they could do afterwards. But let's be honest, like, how excited, like, how much more excited would we be during the movie just to see another character?
Yeah.
If they went with that route, that's the dangerous part. They had to figure it out. And guys, they've already slated so many movies. You have to wait till like after 2020 to even probably get this movie.
Yeah. And
by that
who
time,
who knows if Scarlett Johansson wants to do it?
Yeah. And by that time, you know, we don't know. We'll find out. I think you guys just got to give them a little bit of time. I don't know. I don't understand why people are so outraged about the they're trying to oppress the women. Oh, fuck yourself. You know, I don't know. Shut
yeah.
up. Seriously.
Yeah, so some extension kind of that news is that both Avengers Infinity War films will be retitled.
Okay.
So it looks like Joe Russo said the intention is that we will change it. We just haven't come up with the titles yet, but yes, we will change it. And yes, that is a scoop. We will retitle them. So what are they going to retitle it? It's still going to be about Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet, so.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, maybe like they'll rename it like to Thanos or something. I don't know.
Thanos Rising.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would be like part one, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, dude. Like, we'll have to wait and see because, you know, for sure, part one definitely had to focus more on Thanos than the
yeah.
actual Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're just sitting there talking about the Avengers the whole fucking time, you know, it kind of takes away from what Thanos is trying to accomplish as well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's a very confusing thing.
Maybe they're renaming it because they don't want to mislead us again.
Yeah, I mean, that I did write that down. I said, is it a Civil War effect? Because, I mean, I partially share the opinion because, you know, the reason it's named Civil War is because you have heroes fighting against heroes. It's, you know, people that are on the same sides that, you know, turn against each other. You know, that's
right.
what a Civil War is. And, you know, it just wasn't really too much like the comic, but it was still a great movie.
Yeah.
But you can totally check that out on our other podcast. We won't talk about that too much.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a naming issue. I don't know if it's something that they've been planning for a while now, or if it's just something, you know, due to some of the response they've received from Civil War. Who
right.
knows? I mean, we'll just kind of have to wait and see as the reports come out.
Maybe it's, maybe they just want to eliminate the word war because, like war implies something bigger, and like for Civil War it wasn't really a war, it was like
I think with Infinity Wars they could imply that because they've
yeah.
already implied that there's going to be like a massive cast for this, and this is literally like a war.
Mm-hmm.
Like Civil War is more like it should have been like
civil battle in
yeah.
Civil battle at the airport.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, you know what I mean? So I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
So, the Russo brothers talk Avengers Infinity War start, and they also slip up and kind of say, hey, Captain Marvel will appear in it. So, yeah. On the press tour for Captain America Civil War continues, and that means one thing. News about everything coming up in the MCU. Speaking with Deadline actor, directors Anthony and Joe Russo spoke about their work on the upcoming Avengers Infinity War, saying shooting will begin before the end of this year. Joe says, we have already started on it a couple of months ago. We started shooting in November, two movies back to back. So we need two scripts ASAP and probably started, working on them 6 months ago. And then Anthony adds to the conversation saying, as soon as, we got into the post on this movie, we gave ourselves a few weeks to transition, and then we spent half days with writers and half in the edit room for months, and we'll get the first draft of both scripts when this movie opens. I don't know what that even means.
Okay.
And then when asked to clarify, one of the brothers reportedly joked, kind of skipped over something. I'm so sorry, guys. I totally skipped over something. In other Infinity news, the brothers conducted a Q&A at the Smithsonian Institute via comic book, where they listed off some of the characters set to appear in the film and mentioned none other than Captain Marvel by name. When asked to clarify, one of the brothers reportedly joked, Captain Marvel, totally different character. Yeah, good save there.
Neat.
Sorry about fumbling that little news right there. I don't know what I was doing.
You mean Captain Marvel's gonna be Infinity Wars? Oh, I never saw that coming.
Nah, Captain Marvel, bro.
Oh, Captain Barvel.
Barvel.
Barvel. Bar.
Barvel.
Bars for days.
I got bars.
Captain Bevel.
Yes. I got bars for days.
Yeah.
And I mixed it with a shovel.
With a shovel.
So I can dig your grave. Oh, I have bars, dude.
Bars. I don't go to bars.
Yes. Okay. Sweet.
Neato burrito.
Well done, Russo brothers.
Yeah. Alden Ehrenreich is cast as young Han Solo. It's not official yet, but it's official, just not through Disney. Okay.
Or Lucasfilms.
So yeah, that's a thing. He was in Hail Caesar and Blue Jasmine and all a bunch of other stuff. We have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally awesome.
Yeah, so it's gonna be about how young Han Solo became the smuggler, thief, and scoundrel Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan first encountered in the cantina in Mos Eisley. It's confirmed that Chewbacca will also be a featured character in the film, and while unconfirmed, it's likely The Force Awakens. Junisuwa Tamo will reprise the role.
Awesome.
So it's slated for May 25th, 2018, and I don't care.
Really? You don't care?
No, I don't think they should do a young Han Solo film.
Why? Because do you think it will, like, destroy the image of him?
No.
I said all along.
What? That he's a scumbag?
Yes.
Scott hates Han Solo.
Yes.
He thinks his only point in existence is to cockblock Luke.
Okay. You have to understand, guys. I understand that Luke and Leia are brother and sister. I understand this. But you have to take it in the context of what had happened when it all went down. They had no idea. And like Luke was like in love with Leia. Like wanted to bang her for sure. Okay. He wanted to get in those knickers.
Those knickers.
Yeah, dude.
I don't think that she was wearing space knickers.
Space thong. That's sexy. No. No, beyond that. I really do think, like, generally this movie does sound pretty awesome.
It should be a good movie. I just don't know if it should be made.
Why? What justifies that opinion?
It's like you're just going to see some new guy as Han Solo, and you're going to be like... But it's not really Han Solo. It's just this new guy.
Is it because it won't be Harrison Ford? Is that like the whole shebang of this thing?
Maybe. I think that the movie's quality will depend a lot on this actor.
Well, obviously. What fucking statement is that?
I mean,
that's like every movie ever, Christian.
Well, even if the movie is great, like, it's like if... Like sometimes it just depends on how much you like the acting of the character.
Well, I mean, the thing is like when you throw a character that's like already like within, you know, he's full grown and he's already within like his own character,
uh-huh.
And you don't have any insight for the past how many years now? Like 30, 40, 50. I don't know when that shit came out. A long ass fucking time ago. So
yeah.
people generally become intrigued. They want they want that insight into the beloved character that they know. You know what I mean? Like, even though it's like I don't particularly care for like how he conducted himself, I'm really actually interested because you get to know how Han and Chewie met, even though it's, I don't know if that type of stuff was ever like dived into like within books. It's like I've never read it. So like none of that stuff has ever been explored and people want to know that stuff. It's like the same concept of how they already structure the Star Wars movies. It's like they started here and then they went back and then, you know, to like connect and then they went forward again.
Yeah.
So it's like they started here with Han Solo, moved forward, and now they want to go, they want to go back to let people know what happened in his life beforehand.
All right, here's what they need to do.
It's the classic Star Wars continuum. I mean,
They need to just make a Darth Bane movie.
I agree. I totally 100% agree. Or 12,
and call it a day.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the Dark Bane series is just awesome. I mean, I was going to say, like, by far the best series, but I obviously cannot make a statement like that, seeing how I've never read the other books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's great. It's just great.
No, seriously, like, there's so many dimensions to the Darth Bane trilogy, even though I'm, like, on book two still. And, yeah, dude, I would love to see that. I think eventually they're going to do all of Star Wars, you know, because I'm sure there's, like, a humongous following for,
Bloody well better.
They bloody well fucking better.
All right. Well, moving on. Ben Affleck is now an executive producer on Justice League. That's about all the news that we'll get, he'll work with director Zack Snyder and screenwriter Chris Terrio to make the film the best he can.
Here's my thing is like, does this move mean that Warner Brothers is losing faith in what Zack Snyder can accomplish with these characters?
Maybe. I mean, because even though BVS made money, the overwhelming response to it was negative.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course, you're going to have your DC fanboys continually go to it just to show the support because for some reason they're brainwashed and fucking like the movie. I don't know why. I mean, I'm a DC fanboy. I prefer DC over Marvel, but hey, I fucking hated the movie. I thought it was a shit movie. I thought it was the worst movie I ever fucking seen. And I mean, but people are like, I seen all over the internet, I'm going to go see this movie like 50 times. It's the greatest fucking thing ever, dude. I'm a little fucking chode. Like, I mean, dude, fuck off. But no, I generally believe that this means that Warner Brothers is not happy with the overwhelming response.
It's because Batman vs. Superman was the best movie ever.
Get the fuck out of here, bro. So, like, on Jordy Shore, they do this, like, weird thing where it's, like, it's kind of like
it's
the
like hang loose sign.
Yeah, it's like the hang loose sign, but, like, they connect the thumb to, like, their nose, and then they make, like, a little trumpet sound, like,
yeah,
and then like it just means like they'll make a statement and they'll do that, and then it basically means like yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's what we did right there.
Yeah, we did that.
Joke destroyed.
Yeah, because we're the greatest. Bosh,
Bosh. It's a fucking mint time when you hang out with us. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it's a positive move for the film.
I mean, but here's the thing: is like I believe in what Ben Affleck might be able to like. You know, do with the film.
Right.
But I mean, it's ultimately really up. Like, I mean, I don't know what executive producing really does when you still have a shit director.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to be honest about it. You know, it's like, sure, like the executive producers can force him to do other things. But I mean, we'll have to wait and see what happens. I mean, I have no faith in what Zack Snyder can accomplish with this, with these characters we know and love.
No, he shouldn't be doing any of this nonsense.
Talking about people that don't know what they're doing, Fox, New Mutants lineup, revealed by director Josh Boone. He went to social media to drop the news through Instagram, of course. Boone posted a number of images of different team members, including Magic, Sister of Colossus, and a powerful sorceress capable of teleporting, Wolfsbane, who can change into a lycanthrope at will, Danny Moonstar, aka Shanae or Mirage, who can visualize other thoughts, especially their fears. Cannonball, who can thrust himself and fly with an energy propulsion, and Sunspot, who can absorb and channel solar radiation to both fly and create energy blasts. And Warlock, a techno-organic being capable of changing size and shape. Though it remains to be seen if he will appear in the film, Boom also made note of tiny dragon Lockheed's tail in one of the other images. Lockheed being the alien dragon companion of Kitty Pryde in the source material. It also remains to be seen who will fill all the roles in the films, through a previous report pointed towards Macy Williams, she's known from Game of Thrones, and Anna Taylor-Joy from The Witch as potentially filling the roles of Wolfsbane and Magic. That report also noted that Alexandra Shipp Storm and James McAvoy, McAvoy? Is that how you say it?
McAvoy,
yeah. Oh, ha ha, got it right, bitch. Suck a dick, motherfucker. Professor Charles Xavier would play major roles in the film as well. So, I mean, they're doing something different, at least. I mean, I have more hope for a New Mutants movie than an actual X-Men movie, you know? Even though they're all X-Men, but...
Yeah.
It's something that it's a little bit different, and they're not trying to tackle all these fucking grand storylines and stuff. It's something, I think, more manageable for Fox.
Yeah, I mean, it could be cool. Like, I love X-Men and, like, X-Men-related stuff, but, like, the movies haven't been great, and...
Apocalypse is gonna tank... epically.
I don't know about that, but it's possible.
Oh, yeah, it will. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry. I can see the future, and I can prove it. Just listen to our podcast, and they always happen.
Yeah.
All right, going... that's all the news we have for you guys. If we missed anything, let us know. We'll try to cover it next week.
Honorable mention to Wolverine 3, which is casting a bunch of nobodies as mystery roles.
Oh, yeah. We've decided that from now on, we're not going to actually, like, really try to delve into mystery roles unless that they're actually announced who the fucking character is, because we can't mention, like, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe we can, like, look at the person and try and guess.
Think they're going to play?
Like, we can, like, look at the person's face and maybe try to match up somebody that looks similar in the comics, but this is like, stupid.
Oh, he's kind of fat. He's going to play the Blob.
Dude, I can play the Blob. Maybe. I just need to shave my head.
Well, you can do, like, a little blonde mohawk.
No, yes. He does have a little blonde mohawk.
Huh? Or you can do bold. I don't know if it matters necessarily, but...
Yeah. But, yeah. Mystery roles, I mean, not much to talk about. Cares? So, moving on. So, this week we have Gotham, The Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. And, of course, we will start with our Monday shows. Gotham, Season 2, Episode 19, Azrael. Gordon and Bruce question Professor Strange about Project Chimera, which leads Strange to send newly resurrected Galvan to confront Gordon. Meanwhile, Nygma investigates who Professor Strange is. This is honestly, where do they come up with these? I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know. It's like a loosely, you know, thing. It's they could have added a lot more to that synopsis.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the episode, though?
I thought it was a pretty good episode.
I thought this was, like, one of their best episodes ever.
I liked Azrael quite a bit.
A great deal.
Because, I mean, it's just, like, really... Like Azrael is straight from the Book of Saint Dumas, and in the comic books, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, it's great to see that kind of evolution, and he did great, and obviously the sword is real, but his sword was fake. But yeah, the episode was very good.
Yeah, I thought the episode was good. I mean, nothing really bothered me or anything. By no means was it a perfect episode or whatever.
No.
But I thought it was a very, very excellent episode.
Mm-hmm.
Just from Azrael to, you know, connecting it to the source material, and really kind of, you know, really their first taste of a true mass vigilante.
Yeah, and did you see Bruce's face, like, watching him?
Yeah, dude, it's like he was studying him, in a sense. It really was our first taste of what a Batman could be like in this universe, and it was awesome, dude.
Yeah, and, I mean, I love that that's how they brought Galavan back into the world. It wasn't just, like, fucking, I'm Theo Galavan, I'm back as your mayor. Like,
yeah, but it was like Azrael, and he was totally badass as Azrael, man.
And he was kind of funny with his old-timey talk.
Yeah, he's like, you must face your sins, Jim Gordon.
He's like, what is this sorcery or something?
Oh, he's like this
devil sorcery or something.
Oh, dude, no, he like held the gun. He's like, this weapon is like so amazing, and then like it ran out of bullets and it stopped shooting him. And he's like, what is this devil sorceress? And then like threw off the gun. Dude, it was so funny, dude. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Overall, I thought it was just a really great episode, guys.
Enigma, you know, outsmarting everybody in prison.
And then,
or
like,
in Arkham, sorry.
Yeah, and then you have Penguin, you know, being all deranged
all
now
crazy.
And shit because, you know, he killed more people and just kind of making the transition back from a fixed person to a crazy murderer. And
like, fucking Barbara's, like, all crazy again.
Yeah,
somehow.
So apparently, like, Hugo Strange effects only last for a little while.
Or does he even have powers? Like,
ooh.
Remember, like, when we first saw him, we thought he had, like suggestive powers?
Who?
Hugo Strange.
Really?
Yeah, when we first saw him, because, like, he said something to some guy, and or, like, he's like, you gotta keep your eyes open or something. The guy, like, ripped out his eyes or something. In, like, one of the first episodes he was in.
Hmm.
We're like, oh, he has, like, the power of suggestion or something. But then, like, I don't think he really does. I think they just, like,
he just brainwashes
them. Misled us with that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, yeah, I think Gordon confronting him and pretty much, like, tricking him into, like, admitting that he was the philosopher, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty good. This episode was great.
Yeah, because, you know, Jim Gordon goes and confronts Hugo Strange, and he's like, I can read people, and, you know, I can tell when you're lying. He's like, you know, he's, like, talking about how he holds all the cards, and... Jim Gordon flips it around on him. He's like, guess what? I can read people too. And mm-hmm. He's like, I just got the evidence I needed. And, you know, he tricked him because he thought he was like subpoenaed.
Yeah. And then he opened the envelope and it was empty.
Hey, dude, he fucking played him, dude. Ooh. Like, no, that was like, ooh.
And then he's like, I will get Azrael to take him out.
Yeah, that didn't work too well. But yeah. Looks like Captain Barnes is going to die.
Yes. It looks like he's pretty dead.
Yeah, I don't think he actually died yet, but
yeah,
they kind of left
Gotham General. So
yeah, I mean, it kind of left on a cliffhanger, so he may or may not die. But I'm interested to see how Jim Gordon becomes, you know, integrated back into the GCPD.
Yeah, and then they made the joke about how he's gonna be commissioner one day.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of, you know, foreshadowing.
Yeah,
so that was good. It was good.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. Great.
You have a 9.2.
I give it like a 9.6. I thought it was really fucking good. Yeah. I literally just enjoyed it so much. I just felt very happy watching it. I was like...
Yeah, it was very good.
They,
it was very good.
They really have pulled together, you know, from down in the dumps in season one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pulled their shit together. Listened to our podcast, obviously.
Obvi.
And, you know, just, you know? Pulled it
together. Yeah, restructured their life.
Yes.
So, The Flash, Season 2, Episode 20, Rupture. Zoom arrives back on Earth 1, intent on taking over Central City. Barry and Wells come up with a plan to stop Zoom once and for all, but it's extremely dangerous. Unsure if he should take the risk, Barry reaches out to both fathers for advice. Henry is adamantly opposed to Barry risking his life again, but Joe thinks he can handle it, which puts the two men at odds with each other. Not really, they weren't really at odds, what? Anyway... Meanwhile, Cisco is shocked when he vibes the Earth 2 villain Rupture, who happens to be his older brother Dante's doppelganger. Rupture came to the Earth seeking justice for Reverb's death. Iris decides she's finally ready to open up to Barry about her feelings for him.
You said doppelganger.
Yeah. Sorry. Doppelganger.
Yes! No, I'm just kidding. Well done, dude. That was a really long thing. They got some things wrong. Obviously, yeah. They meant Henry and...
Harry.
And Harry, not Joe. Joe was kind of like on the in-between spectrum of the two. Like, I mean, he doesn't want him to go, but he knows whatever Barry has in his mind, he knows he's going to commit to that.
Joe is going to support him either way.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, how awesome was Rupture, dude?
Rupture was pretty cool.
Fucking cool, dude.
Yeah.
He reminded me, like, I was, like, thinking, like, when I was watching, I was like, this is, like a mix between, like an Azrael character and, like, kind of, like, a Grim Reaper type thing going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it was, like, Azrael with a magic staff.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, dude, this is fucking, oh, my God, Dante, you're a badass.
Yeah, bro hug.
Like, yeah, dude, oh, man, this episode.
This episode was, like. Hey, guess what, guys? Emotional scene. Oh, look at that one. That's an emotional scene. Hey, guess... Hey, God, we're not done. We're not done. And then they kept doing it over and over and over. Tearing
guys,
our fucking hearts out.
We have literally said it time and time and time again. And this episode literally is just, it's just what the Flash does.
Yeah.
What the Flash is able to accomplish is just, it's unmatched, really. They're able to pull out in their audience a range of different emotions.
Mm-hmm.
From happiness to sadness, even anger, even though it's like you might not literally, you know, present anger. It's like you feel other people's anger within the show, and it's like you sympathize with them and stuff. So it's like you get that anger feeling a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you get every spectrum of emotion that you can achieve. Excitement, you know, fear.
No.
And it's just unmatched to anything on television right now. It's undeniable that this is the best show on television. I swear to God, if they don't win any Oscars this year again.
Emmys. Wait, is it the Oscars?
Emmys
is TV.
Is it?
But like one of them is called like two different things. It's like the Academy Awards, I think, are the Oscars.
I don't know.
It's
whatever they're called. If they don't win any awards again this year, dude, I will fucking be outraged. And dude, I will fucking start a riot. Let's start a riot.
A riot.
A riot.
Let's start. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's just so good. I mean, like, fuck. This episode was
say enough, dude.
Amazing. It was.
So it happened finally, guys.
Barry and Iris.
The moment everyone has been waiting for.
Only took almost two
seasons.
And
they ripped our hearts out at the end, you yeah. fuckers.
Dude, it's like, you're like, okay, Barry's either going to get his powers back or he's not. And he fucking explodes.
He exploded.
Dude, he like fell apart like when Voldemort was killed by Harry and he started flaking apart. Like, that's what happened to Barry, except he started flaking apart and tearing his skin apart and then blew up.
So, I guess my only complaint. There is one complaint in this episode. Why didn't Zoom kill Captain Singh?
Yeah. Why didn't he kill Joe?
I could understand why they don't kill Joe.
Yeah.
But Captain Singh provides no significance to this show.
Maybe because he's still like the police captain.
Maybe they're afraid of killing a gay character. I don't know, dude. I was kind of mind boggled by it. I mean, not the biggest of deals, but it is the smallest of details that we have to pay attention to on here.
Maybe because he needs Captain Singh as a way to kind of like spread the word that don't fuck with Zoom.
But somebody else will take that role.
Yeah, but he knows it's not going to be Joe or Barry or any of them. They're just going to try to stop him somehow, you know?
Yeah.
And Singh would be the one to kind of.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, let people know, like...
It's like the whole thing, it's like, you know, you kill everybody, but leave one person to talk about it, you know?
Yeah, like the old Pirates of the Caribbean thing, like, no survivors. Well, where do the stories come from then, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, dude, this fucking episode was so amazing.
Yeah.
So then we have Wally and what is her name? Jesse.
Yes, Jesse. They got hit by the wave, and I was like, woohoo!
Yeah, and like we talked about it like through texting and stuff. We're like, so, you know, talk about particle accelerators. So we're like, okay, so this is how Wally and
Jesse get their powers.
Yeah, Jesse especially becomes speedsters.
With like one of the kind of conversations throughout the episode was like Jesse and Joe was like, well, maybe one day you'll find something where you can keep going fast and help people at the same time.
Yeah, it was a direct nod. I was just about to talk about that too. Yeah, it was a very subtle, very clever Easter egg to me.
Yeah, and Jesse the same
thing.
Well,
I mean, because, I mean, to the untrained mind, the people that don't read comic books don't even know that Wally West is, you know, the Flash.
Yeah, or so, Kid Flash. But he will be the Flash one day.
But, I mean, let's be honest, you know, Wally West was the Flash that everybody knows and loves, actually.
Yeah, the fun-loving, you know...
I mean, he was the Flash for more than, like, what? Like, how long, dude?
Wally was a Flash for a long time.
Like, I mean, like, an absurdly long time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
More than 20 years, I think.
Yeah, Barry was a Flash up until somewhere around the 90s, right? And then Wally was...
I think it was the 80s. It was the 80s when they made that transition.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And then Wally was until Flash... till Flash Reborn.
No, Flash Reborn.
Rebirth.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Flash Rebirth. That's what it is. Yeah. That's when Barry Allen came back, and they had Flash Day.
Yeah.
And then and you the know Flash him and Green Lantern had the whole talk of, well, when I came back, nobody liked me, but when you came back, you were celebrated as a hero.
Yeah.
But it's the thing is like, you know, they've done storylines before where like the Flash has been stuck in the Speed Force and kind of fast forwarding to what happened at the end, guys. Just a little context right there. You know, when they turn on the machine, they think it's about to work and then Barry just like disintegrates. And you think he's dead, but I'm like, oh, he's my immediate thought. I was like, oh, he's trapped in the Speed Force.
Right. We know he's not dead.
Yeah. Obviously, he's not dead. Obviously they're not stupid. Or maybe they are.
Yeah.
Who knows? But an interesting note to talk about is I did see a piece of news. I don't remember where I seen it, but I did see a piece of news. I think it was like Greg Berlanti was talking about like the show and the show is never going to be like Speedster and Friends, like being a bunch of superpowered people working on one team.
Right.
That makes me think, so what are they going to do with Wally and Jesse when they do get their powers? Or are they eventually going to like just leave Barry and stuck in the Speed Force and Wally takes over for a little bit?
I think Jesse and Harry will end up going back to Earth 2.
Yeah.
And we kind of will we'll see him again if they ever go back to Earth 1, but other than that, probably won't see him.
So you just think like the persona is going to be short-lived?
I think it'll be present, but like every once in a while present, not like a consistent character in the show.
You don't think there's a possibility for a spinoff?
Maybe a spinoff.
What
like
about
Earth 2 spinoff though?
Yeah, like what about Wally though?
Wally will be like Barry's little sidekick, but then they'll have to up the ante like with villains, you know, like
yeah.
Like what do you do? Like obviously like Captain Cold is one of Flash's biggest villains, you know, but like they made him kind of like a once in a while villain in the show.
Yeah.
Like, he's not strong enough to beat Barry every time.
What is the one where he, like, creates, like, mirages? Or it's, like the mirror guy.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I thought he was supposed to be on this show at one point. I don't know.
I think he was.
Was he?
But, like, a very minor character.
Maybe.
Like, a little, like, minor villain. But yeah, I mean, they're going to have to keep up in the ante because, like, the Flash is going to keep getting stronger, obviously.
Well, I think regardless, I mean, what they've been able to accomplish with, like, what they do with the villains that they select, you know, they're always usually a platform for the plot, you know, you know, whatever they're dealing with that week as their plot.
Right, and then, like, your one overarching
but they make
guy.
They make them badass, so it doesn't matter who they really choose. They just have to choose somebody that's, like, plausibly, like, it, like, makes sense. It's, like, somebody strong enough to be able to take on two speedsters with their set of skills.
Yeah, probably, like, maybe someone magic, like, they're doing on Arrow, but...
Yeah, maybe, like, they'll bring back, like, Boomerang at some point.
Maybe. Captain Boomerang. Probably do, like, supervillain team or something.
Maybe they do finally form the Rogues Gallery.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that they're just trying to deal with, but... You know, with the different strategical standpoints of each rogue, I mean, it's not so easy for Barry Allen to, you know, defeat them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they can keep going along with just, like, these speedsters every season, you know?
Yeah, every single season.
Like,
they're going to have to step out of their norm in order to continue the excellency of the show.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, grading.
9.8.
Same.
Yeah.
I so desperately really wanted to give it a 10, dude.
Yeah.
But it was on the brink, dude. Like, it literally, I'll change my grade to 9.9, dude. It was that good.
That good, eh?
Are we allowed to give 9.9s? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Is that your change of grade?
Sure. I suppose that by 0.1 grade, whatever. All right, so unfortunately, we're moving on.
Sad Flash.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 3, Episode 19, Failed Experiments. As a threat of Hive looms, loyalties are put to the test, and the team must come up with a device resolution.
Decisive.
Oh, What did I say?
Device.
Device. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
Yeah.
Without you, my friend.
Friend.
All right.
Oh.
What'd you think? What'd you think? Was it good? Was it bad? Was
it... I know it was a good episode.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was good. Daisy's all brainwashed. She's like beating the shit out of people and using her fucking quakiness.
Dude, I came this close to making a correct prediction. God damn it!
Thought she was gonna kill one of
I thought she was gonna kill Mac, dude. I was like, kill him! Kill him! Kill him! And then they, you know, have Ancient May save him. I was like, no.
No.
Not that I don't like Mac or anything. I love Mac. In fact, he's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, he's great.
But I just, for the sake of being right, you know?
Take one for the team, Mac.
Just take one for the team.
Because
that could have been, you know, the point. That could have been the breaking point. Remember I was talking about, is there a possibility of an event that it's a breaking point that could break
Daisy out of her spell? Yeah. I don't think that would have
broken. And
broke
dude,
her.
Like, I don't know, man. It's she's showing behaviors like being caught. You know, there's something fighting back. It's like her inner voice, you know, like who Daisy is. It's, you know, she's fighting back.
Yeah. But then she's all like, drain me.
Drain me.
Titties in your face.
Hits.
Yeah, and they're
guys,
like,
guys, important news. Christian informed me today that Chloe Bennett will be at Sacramento. What's the world?
Maybe.
You just let me have this moment.
Maybe.
Because there's a 0.1% chance I can get her to sleep with me. And I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
Against 99.9%.
Yeah.
I will achieve my goal.
You'll achieve your goal. Your stretch goal.
I'm going to go for it, guys. Wish me luck at Wizard World.
Well, hopefully this is true. And it's not just her on a guest list for Wizard World in general.
Yeah. Because that would be awful.
Yeah, I mean.
So here's my plan, guys. So if she has a Q&A, I'm going to ask for like a private interview. And I'm just going to lay it all on the table for her. It's going to be a good time.
You're going to lay it out on the table. Like, you're going to lay on a table and just be like, I'm here for the interview.
No, I'm just kidding, guys. I'm not going to
with
really
like a
this.
leaf over your drink.
Hell yeah, dude. Sounds like, that sounds funny.
Yeah. All right.
So I mean, if anybody's ever watched How I Met Your Mother, I'm going to do the naked man on her.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, but.
So it's a scheme to get women to sleep with you. So it's like you're going on a date, right? And then you find an excuse to go back to their apartment. You get them to leave the room for a second, then you strip down completely naked, and then you just do a pose, and can either go one of two ways. Either they sleep with you or they don't.
Or they can murder you.
Or they can call the police for sexual assault.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm gonna try this.
Yeah.
I'm not made to go to prison, guys.
I wasn't built for that.
I was not built for this. I think I'm too fluffy, and I, you know, I think bad things would happen to me in prison.
So Daisy still loves her team, but she wants them to be like inhuman so that Hive can give them that sensation.
We're talking about prison right
now. Oh,
here.
Okay.
No, I'm just
all
kidding.
Right.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Keep going. Keep
yeah,
going.
And then like
you're on a roll.
And then she's like, drain me. Like, we'll use my Kree blood that was used to revive me to turn people into inhumans, bro. And then, like, Hive is like, I killed one of the Kree who made me.
So, is it just me, or does the actor for Hive now seem like he's acting better as Hive than he was as Grant Ward?
I mean, I liked Grant Ward, but he was just an asshole. I mean, I didn't think the acting was bad before.
I think he's just, no, I don't think it's bad. I just think he's better now.
Yeah. He's done a good job transitioning into this role.
Yeah. Well, then you have, like, Lincoln being a dumbass. You know, I'm going to fucking inject myself with, like, AIDS or something.
And then she's like, it didn't fucking work, Lincoln. You're a fucking moron. You fucking twat.
He must have been totally mortal to go into a lab, take a syringe full of AIDS, and inject himself.
He's a complete...
What is he, Magic Johnson or something?
He's a complete fucking bellend. He's a twat. I don't like him.
God.
He's a fucking prick. No, I like Lincoln, but yeah, he was pretty stupid.
What an idiot. Yeah. But I think on one end of it, Fitz really understood what he was trying to do. Because
yeah,
because
Fitz did the same shit. Yeah.
He did the same thing for Simmons. I mean,
yeah, he was like trying to get himself killed in fucking Dubai or something. He's like, hello, I am Raj Patel.
I am Raj Patel from Al-Qarid.
Yeah, so... I mean, not really much else to say about this episode. They're just gonna create an inhuman army. What'd you think? What'd you grade it?
I thought it was okay, so I would give it like a 7.8.
That's much different than what I gave it.
Okay.
I give it a 9.2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You gonna change it?
No.
Okay.
I thought it was a very good episode.
I thought it was like a pretty good episode. Well,
they're like building up for stuff.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, but I just don't know if it... I think it would have had a better end. I think they lost me when they didn't kill Mac.
Oh.
I don't necessarily think they need, like, deaths in episodes to do it. But if you're building up for it, if, like, you're literally on the verge of killing them and they don't, it's like, oh, it loses that aspect of, like, holy fuck, they really did it, dude.
But maybe she was, like, holding back because there's still a piece of her in there.
She wasn't, though, dude. She was like, I'm going to crush your heart, bitch.
But, like, that was after she was, like, punching him in the face. She could have just started with that.
No. Right. She was beating the fuck out. Actually, you know, she could have. She probably was holding back a little bit, but May saved his life.
May was like, I shot you in the arm, bitch.
I shot you in the arm, bitch. Yeah, though. All right. Moving on.
Arrow, Season 4, Episode 20, Genesis. As Oliver and Felicity look for a magical solution to defeat Dark, a vengeance-driven Diggle gets a lead in Andy's whereabouts and head off to confront his brother. Meanwhile, Alex takes Thea on a vacation that quickly turns into a nightmare. Never stopping a nightmare. It was just a fucking nightmare, dude.
Right? Right, dude? Dude, this episode was crazy.
It was pretty good.
This is what I'm saying.
Like, I like that Mexican lady.
Like, the lead up, and then they killed Andy.
Andy, yeah.
I was like, I didn't think Diggle
had...
And then
he lied to Lila about it.
Yeah.
Why would you lie?
I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, he was like, he reached for my gun. Why don't you just say he threatened you guys? Fuck, bro.
Man. And then now, like, Thea's, like, trapped in, like, the dome.
Like, under the fucking... Star City Bay or some shit.
Yeah, dude. I thought this episode was really good, though.
I liked it, yeah.
I liked this episode. It was, like, one of their better episodes of the season.
Yeah, and Oliver went to see, like, the Mexican lady, and I was like, oh, she's so hot.
Dude, I know. I was like, señorita.
Señorita.
You know, on slide across.
Arriba.
yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot. It was, like, Diggle's story with, like, Andy pretty much was a sucker. But Oliver has the light, bro. The idol responded to him.
You're correct.
And, like, Damian Dark was like, I will murder you. Look at my hand. And then Oliver's like, light, come to me. And then, like, repulsed Damian Dark. And he's like, I have the light in me.
I have the light. I am the light.
I have the magic in me. That's a song, right?
Maybe.
I think that's a song.
I know it's like the magic stick by like 50 Cent and like I think Missy Elliott.
Yeah, I don't
know that. I got the magic stick.
Oh,
talking
okay.
about your ding-a-ling.
Yeah. Yeah, and like is that
he
like
the, had
what's the like the candy stick. Shop song? Or whatever?
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's
is that
all,
the same one?
No. Oh. I mean, obviously not.
Oh.
I mean, all right.
Candy shop and licking lollipops and stuff.
Yeah, dude.
Isn't
I
that
mean,
50 Cent?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I knew stuff. yeah.
So, okay, what do you think, though? What do you think they're, like, going to start Genesis? How do you think it's going to turn out? Like, I mean, what's going to happen?
Dude, fuck it. Oliver's going to be, like, magical warlord Oliver and fucking beat the shit out of Damian Dark.
He's like, I am an unstoppable force now.
The good in me overpowered the evil.
Yep.
Like, fuck. And, like, Felicity wasn't too bad in this episode either.
No, she wasn't. She was a pleasant surprise.
But then, like, the fucking, like, Thea's like, do you hear the noises? They're on a loop. I'm like, how do you figure this out? You just like, all you have to do all day is fucking sit there and think that nigga was drugging her.
Right. No, but like, I mean, you think about it, you know, they're crime fighters. Oliver has definitely trained them to notice their surroundings and stuff like that. So things like that make sense to me. I honestly feel like, thought it was kind of cool. And then, you know, she finds out she's in a dome and then she's like banging against the wall, which is hilarious.
Yeah. And like she's being chased.
I was like, you dumb bitch. That's a wall. What the fuck you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing?
What are you doing there?
Like in freaking Andy or whatever. Well, not Andy. What's the guy's name? Alex. Yeah, dude. What's the
Alex.
Yeah. Freaking Alex. So like he was all like brainwashed or something by those little yellow pills.
Yeah.
Like he was like roofying Theo with them.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what the titties?
I mean, not that surprising because like the fake canary or whatever from like last week called out Alex on being like with
working for Ruve Dark.
Yeah.
And shit. But yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was a great episode.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. So gratings?
I gave it a 9.2.
Jesus, you give such nice grades this week. 8.2.
Wow.
Oh, wait, hold on. No, I'm so sorry. Why did I say 8.2? 9.0.
Oh, okay. So my grade wasn't that nice.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, consistently, you get them all nines or above.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you... Yeah. All right.
So, on to the last show of the week. Legends of Tomorrow, Season 1, Episode 14, River of Time. After numerous attempts in many different time periods, the team has successfully captured Vandal Savage. However, Savage tells Kendra that he can reunite her with Carter, so she struggles with whether she should kill him. That was totally last episode, by the way. BT-dub. Rip decides that they will deliver Savage to the Time Masters, which doesn't sit well with Snart and Rory. The duo decides that it may be time to jump ship and return to their old lives. Meanwhile, Savage taunts Ray about his place in Kendra's life. I mean, except for, like, the little first part or whatever, I mean, it was pretty decent summary.
Pretty okay.
So what'd you think of this episode, man? I know, like, you think it was, like, their best episode, or was it, like, shit?
It was... pretty good.
Pretty good.
But unenthusiastically pretty good.
Okay. It was like,
I mean.
I think like the reveal at the end may have saved the episode a little bit. Like, I mean, just like a sliver of a little bit, like a little tiny piece.
I mean, I don't think the episode was bad by any stretch. I mean, it's just like, there's stuff going on and it was pretty cool and then it ended.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the episode. It's like.
They're stranded. People are deciding whether they pretty much told us what happened in the entire episode.
Yeah, and then like
really not much to talk about. Ooh, like,
yeah, Rip is like, aha, I will put my family before all of you so you can go die. Aha.
Yeah, dude. And I was just like, alright, like, whatever, dude.
Stein is like, I better save Jax, who is aging really fast now because he fixed the machine for Rip.
I really just don't understand like why he couldn't like wait for like Rory and Snart to get back. Like, they could have just sent them all off. But then he's like, ha-ha, bitch.
Yeah, so Jax is back in 2016 now. And I'm sure he's going to get, like, some little partner brain thing from Martin Stein who got captured. And then, like, Snart and What's-Her-Face Sarah are going to be all hiding in the boat. I mean, in the ship. And she's going to have her duck face on. Like, she's going to be like... Where are we going?
I think due to, you know, his time with fixing the Wave Rider, he's going to be able to, like, fix the jump ship and make it return back. Watch.
Yeah. Something like that.
Predictions. But, you know, a big twist at the end, you know, the Time Masters are working with Vandal Savage, apparently. Yeah. I'm just like, okay.
Scum.
Scumbag, I tell you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, there really, really, really wasn't that much going on. I mean, you feel kind of bad for Ray. Or whatever, and then, like, he's super manipulated. I screamed at him during the episode. Yeah. I was like, what are you doing?
Stupid fuck.
I literally, like, looked at Christian. I was like, is this going to happen?
Yeah, like, what's he doing? He fucking opened the door, let Savage out.
And then, like, he, like,
ended
beat up him
up. Not mattering, except for, like, Carter broke through, but then died, but didn't die. He's still alive. I'm like, I don't fucking care about Carter.
Fuck Carter. Fuck off. fuck this show because it really hasn't been that good. It's been a major letdown.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just get into grading, dude.
I gave it an 8.6.
Jesus.
But I'm going to change it.
With the high grades.
Well, I gave it a little bit of a high grade because I thought you were going to give it a higher grade. But.
Okay. Go ahead. What are you changing it to?
A 7.5.
7.5, he says. Like a 6.5.
Yeah. Whatever.
I think I've been pretty consistent with, like, how I, like, do it. It's just, like, I don't feel like one event in an episode can change how I feel about the entire episode. Like, I feel differently at that moment, but then it's like, you know, when you take a step back for a second and you're just, like, thinking about it, you're just like, but overall, how was the episode apart from that one moment in time?
I feel like the episode wasn't bad, like, overall. Like, I think it was a good episode. I just don't
think
it was, like,
slightly above average. It was, like, very meh.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just don't care about this show anymore. Like, I think if we cared about this show, it would have been a little different, but...
No, I mean, I still care about the show, obviously. I just don't think... It just did not meet my expectations.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's, you know, kind of flopped a little bit. It just doesn't have a ceiling to me. Like, it's a very kind of one-dimensional show that is going to achieve, like, what it set out to do to kill Vandal Savage or stop him one way or another, and then the show is going to be over. Or they're just going to be hunting Vandal Savage for, like, the next 50 years or something. I don't fucking know.
Who knows? Vandal Savage is a useless villain.
Well, I mean, he's a good villain, but, I mean, yeah.
He's kind of useless.
Useless, he says.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's all we have for you. Of course, you know, the same usual spiel. Go follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, add us on Snapchat. Go visit our awesome website designed by none other than Christian.
Hello.
Hello. You can, you know, visit our website at www.nerdyboysreviews.com. It has all kinds of cool features, like a forum section where you can start a thread and talk with other people in our community. You can view Christian's buy list that he posts every week of comics that he's going to buy and, you know, kind of gives you a little insight, thoughts. Yeah. We have a little, blog section where, you know, we write articles and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So definitely go check that out, guys.
Be sure to check that out. Check out our homepage with a little slideshow, a little link to Reality Comics Boys. Check them out, please.
Yeah, show the 916 love, or if you're not from the 916... still support them anyways because they're on a very cool endeavor that we definitely support.
Yes.
And go follow us, Nicholas J, on Twitter because, as always, you are always the best follower
the
that we have.
The best.
I mean, you do have competition now, Nicholas, just to let you know. There is a feller in Germany. We will find out who he is.
Yeah.
He downloaded, like, what was it, like 45 of our podcasts?
Yeah, some German person.
Dude, he's like, probably listened to him, and he's like, these are the greatest fuckers ever.
It's either a guy or a girl, who knows? I mean, those are like the two gender. Well, okay, who knows at what gender?
I mean, dude, who
there's
knows?
Like 50,000 of them. But we know you, sir, or Matem. We know that you're listening to us. Yeah. Yeah.
If you do have a chance, rate, subscribe, share our podcast on either iTunes or Podbean. Tell your friends, tell your family. Thank you so much.
Tell everyone.
All right, guys. We're signing out now. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And as always, at NBR, we have one simple message for you, and that's to
stay nerdy, boys.